Good morning. I'd like to welcome you all here this morning and all you who are joining us from home. Are there any announcements you'd like to share with the congregation this morning? And LaRue will come around with a microphone. Ruth's got one.
I could remind you about your pennies and coins to put in the jar, but that's not what I was going to say this morning. I saw something on the internet this week that I thought was so cute. It's only if you remember the bunny rabbit and the tricks are for kids thing. And then I walked in this morning and I found it on our bulletin board downstairs. So everybody, please look at the bulletin board because I love it. And thank you to Mandy, who put it up there. She must have been reading my mind.
Thank you. Thank you to everybody who's brought supplies for Bethany Christian Services for the refugees. I delivered our first load of donations on Friday, and I'll deliver another load tomorrow because we've got our bucket full. So just thank you. It was so wonderful. They're so thankful that our congregation has been responsive sort of in a last-minute situation, that Bethany Christian Services is connected to folks at Whitehall Mennonite and Ripple and RCI, and so they have a lot of connections to our Mennonite family, and again, they're just so thankful, and families are arriving. They arrived Saturday, actually. They've had some families arriving, so they have more families coming. So thank you again.
Just a quick reminder, we will be having a congregational meeting after church next week. Fairly brief, probably won't take more than 10 minutes or so. We'll do that upstairs, so just feel free to stick around after your social activities, and we'll get started when we can. Thanks.
Are there any other announcements? Okay, would you please join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin, read responsively. Lift your eyes to the hills. Where does your help come from?
Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
Let us worship our God, who watches over us now and always. Let us pray. Christ of the comfortable, you would call us from our security and sameness down that unknown path which leads to God's heart. With trust, we would place our hands in yours and follow. Companion of our sleepless nights, you would beckon us out of the shadows of our fears, calling us to bring our doubts and questioning hearts along. With humility, we would listen to those answers we do not expect or even understand. Word which creates out of nothingness, you would fill us with life where we see only emptiness. You would keep your promises when all our hearts lie littered on the ground. We would let your grace transform us into faithful disciples. Keeper of every moment, walk with us, we pray. Watcher in the night, stay with us, we pray. Spirit of new life, be in us as we pray. Amen. Would you please rise and sing with me, Breathe on Me, Breath of God, found in your hymnal number 356. Mm-hmm. Would you please join me in the prayer of confession found in your bulletin? Lord, we need new birth. Paralyzed by doubts, dead in our stubbornness and guilt, walking in blindness, our hearts are hardened to your love. We confess to the Lord. Jesus, you have come to put the world right, to give life to the dead, and to call into existence a people born from above. Break in your send forth your fresh wind and open the way of life, eternal life. Amen. The first scripture this morning is found in Psalm 121, and you can follow along in your pew Bible on page 440. I will be reading from the New Living Translation. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. Let's all bow for the offering prayer. You trust in us enough to place your blessings in us. So may we be as faithful in offering them back to you, so others might be kept in their loneliness, might be fed in their emptiness, might receive hope in their despair. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And your offering may be placed in the plate at the back of the sanctuary or send in the mail to our P.O. box. This time I'd like to invite the choir forward for Brother James Ayer. The second scripture this morning is found in Romans 4, verses 1 through 5, and then continues on to 13 through 17. You can follow along in your pew Bible on page 797. Abraham was, humanly speaking, the founder of our Jewish nation. What did he discover about being made right with God? If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about, but that was not God's way. For the scriptures tell us, Abraham believed God and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. When people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. But people are counted as righteous, not because of their work, but because their faith in God who forgives sinners. Clearly, God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was based not on his obedience to God's law, but on a right relationship with God that comes by faith. If God's promise is only for those who obey the law, then faith is not necessary, and the promise is pointless. For the law always brings punishment on those who try to obey it. The only way to avoid breaking the law is to have no law to break. So the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift, and we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses. If we have faith like Abraham's, for Abraham is the father of all who believe. That is what the scriptures mean when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing.
Good morning. It's great to see all of you, some new faces that we haven't seen in a while, and a special welcome to the Huntsberger family from Blooming Glen Mennonite Church. You may remember around this time last year, I preached about them because 2 years ago, during this Lenten season, after a time of fasting and prayer, they received a beautiful miracle, which, so you might remember that. You can click back into our YouTube and listen to that sermon and that story again, or just connect with them after service. So welcome to you. Thanks for coming today. So if you take a look at the image on the cover of your bulletins, and for you folks on YouTube, it's the image you clicked on before the video started, you'll see a rendering of a young woman looking up to the heavens in earnest. And the piece is called Raise Your Head, and it's by the artist Lauren Wright Pittman. And it's an image of faith, hope, and longing, as if the young woman is looking up to God for reassurance and connection. And if we were really in touch with our emotions and really honest, How many times a day would we need that kind of reassurance from God to be looking up and saying, what are you doing? What am I supposed to do? Life isn't always easy, and we face challenges daily. In the Ortis comments about this image, Jesus says to respond to apocalyptic signs with staggering hope and confidence. And when it feels like the very foundations of the heavens are crumbling, we are to stand up. And when the roaring sea and the waves confuse us, when the sun, the moon, and the stars come tumbling out of the sky, we are to raise our heads. Staggering hope and confidence. Stand up. Raise our heads. These are words of a strong faith. And today's psalm reading conveys the same idea. I lift my eyes up to the hills. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The Lord is our keeper. The Lord will keep us from all evil, will keep our life. The Lord will keep our going out and our coming in. Him from this time on and forevermore. These are some major declarations, some very big promises. Do we believe them? Do we really believe them? I mean, these days, aren't we kind of programmed not to believe everything we hear? To take things with a grain of salt? Don't we so often scoff when we hear big promises? We're like, yeah, right, whatever. Because promises made in this world by people are so often broken. We can't always count on others. So how do we pivot and shift and remember where our dependable help comes from? Whose promises we can always count on? And the truth is, we have ideas about what's possible and impossible. And those ideas are based on our limits as humans. Many people in the middle of the Huntsberger situation 2 years ago would never have thought Keith would be sitting here today. Never. Seemed an impossibility. But those are our limits as humans. God is not human, and God has no limits. We can't put God in our box. So we have to really pay attention to our attitudes and our beliefs and remind ourselves constantly that the God who made heaven and earth is our keeper. I mean, it's amazing, right? Little me, little you. We're one in 7 billion. But little me and little you, we are precious. Precious in God's sight. More than we know. So much so that God reassures each and every one of us with beautiful promises in Scripture. And God has done everything God can to continually remind us of God's love for us. And we need reassurance. We just have to look up to the heavens, like the young woman on our bulletin cover, and ask God, please show me a sign of your love today. And I guarantee when you do this, you will receive that reassurance. You will see it or you will hear it if you're paying attention. And of course, we can start with what Scripture tells us to grow our faith. Our God, who made heaven and earth, the entire universe, came to earth as a human named Jesus and walked with humanity for 33 years, loving and healing and drinking and eating with us. Jesus' love was so extravagant, so intense, so real and good and amazing that it went viral. It was wildly attractive, so much so that it threatened those in power. the institutions and the governments, the individuals, the human kings were losing their footing to the real king. So they killed him. Then our all-powerful, creative, genius God, who made heaven and earth, hung naked on a tree in flesh form. The most humble posture a human could ever take, hanging there, naked. He could not have been more vulnerable. And guess what? He didn't fight back. He didn't strike the killers with lightning. He didn't even scold them and make them feel guilty or tell them they'd be punished or damned. Instead, Jesus, the exact imprint of God, used his dying breaths to promise the frightened, the hurting, the naked criminal next to him. He told him he'd see him in paradise. How tender is that? And then he forgave his murderers because they clearly did not know what they were doing. That's our God of love. That's the God we believe in. So we have to get really clear about God's character before we even think about the multitude of promises God makes to us in Scripture. God is love, and if we want to know about God's character, we look to Jesus, and specifically to Jesus hanging on the tree. Those last moments of Jesus' life capture God's essence of self-sacrificial love like nothing else can. A few years ago, the girls and I were making a daily trek back and forth to Dock, and a few of you who were in Tea and Talk this week heard this story, but it was irresistible to me to tell it because it's related to this. So the car that we were in could have, like, driven this path to Dock. It was a well-worn path. We spent 3 hours a day driving back and forth from our house to Dock. And I usually drove, but on this particular day, La'akea was driving. She had her learner's permit and had gotten pretty good at managing the curves and the ditches of Allentown Road and the bridge, the one-lane bridges. And at last, my fingernails weren't gripping the dashboard and the fake brake on the passenger side. I wasn't pushing it. So I was kind of chilling. It was relaxing. And we were close to home. Moms and dads, you know this experience well, right? So I'm relaxing, and we're going past this farm on Allentown Road with this motley crew of animals in the pen. And I'm looking out the window and just enjoying myself because I'm usually driving, so I don't get to see what's going on around me. And what do I see? Now imagine this. There's a little pink piglet. The cutest little thing. And he's got a swan on his back. And the swan is flapping. And the little piglet is bucking and bucking. And I'm yelling, "When pigs fly, when pigs fly!" And look, he's like trying not to drive off the road to look. And I'm distracting everybody. So friends, pigs do fly. Who knew? God does the impossible sometimes in a way that we can't understand, the way that we would never think of. The impossible manifests. And this made me think, it's so funny that we make up these limits and boundaries based on what we think is normal and reasonable and within range, within our little range here on earth. And we forget that we have the Creator of the universe loving us. And this God who became enfleshed as Jesus told us, "I assure you that whoever believes in me will do the works that I do. They will do even greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father and I will do whatever you ask for in my name, so that the Father can be glorified in the Son." So when you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. Do we believe that? Do we really believe that? It's incredible, right? So much so that I think it hasn't even sunk in 2,000 years later. We've had 2,000 years to think about this. And with that in mind, I'm going to read some of the promises God made to us as believers in Scripture. And I'd like to ask that we suspend our disbelief just for a few moments, to believe as Abraham did. Because, friends, pigs do fly, and everything is possible with God. Victor Knowles, in his piece called Promise and Fulfillment, Believing the Promises of God, tells us that the word promise appears more than 100 times in sacred scripture. And some have suggested that there may be as many as 30,000 promises contained in scripture, depending on how you interpret the words. Here are just a few of those promises to us as believers. We are promised forgiveness for all the ways we miss the mark of God's intentions for us. That's good news. We're promised that God will fill us with the Holy Spirit. We are promised with eternal life. I mean, forget about the fountain of youth. We believers get that for believing in Christ. Amazing. Jesus Christ promised believers an abundant life. We are never supposed to be in poverty of any sort. Those who show confidence in Christ are assured of answers to our prayers if what we pray is in accordance with God's will. God promises a glorious kingdom to those of us who are rich in faith. We are promised a new heaven and a new earth that will be nothing like we have ever seen here or dreamed of here. A promised land that's infinitely better than we could ever imagine. And God promises us believers a home in heaven. And Jesus is getting a room ready for us. For us. Do we believe these things? I mean, do we really believe them? Why not? Pigs fly. Forgiveness, a release from all the ways we fall short. God's Spirit inside us so that we are never alone and we can heal. We can love extravagantly. We can make miracles happen. Immortality. Everything we could ever want or need. Answered prayers that are aligned with God's will. An awesome kingdom nestled in a brand new heaven and earth. And a room prepared for us by Jesus himself. If we have any doubt, even just a little, why would we doubt? Why would we doubt any of this? Does it sound too good to be true? We don't want to depend on it and be let down, maybe? Or we don't want to look foolish for believing in things that are crazy good? I mean, think about our predecessors, our sacred ancestors, Moses, Noah, Abraham, the things they had to believe in. The crazy things they had to do to be obedient to what God was saying to them. Are we capable of that level of belief? The belief that Abraham had? I mean, what if they hadn't believed and hadn't done the things that God told them to do? What if we don't believe and don't do the works that are even greater than Jesus did? What are the consequences of that? What if during this Lenten season, We fast from our disbelief. What if we get rid of it forever, in fact? I mean, what could happen if we did that? How would we feel? How would it change the world? In this world of violence and depression and all the other things we see on the news, what could be more comforting than knowing and believing that God is at work in our lives and in the world and using us to build the kingdom? And that we don't have to solve all these problems alone. I mean, in fact, it's forbidden. We're supposed to do this with God because we are members of God's kingdom. We don't have to do anything through our own abilities. As believers, we've got God's Holy Spirit in us. We can trust in the promises of God, and we're part of the way God keeps promises to us. Our belief, our faith that God's promises are true, that's what makes them come true. I'll say that again. Our belief, our faith that God's promises are true, that's what makes them come true. Joshua tells us not a single one of all of the good promises that the Lord had given to the family of Israel was left unfulfilled. Everything God had spoken came true. We are Israel. We are the people of God. Peter says in 2 Peter 1, "And because of God's glory and excellence, God has given us great and precious promises." These are the promises that enable you to share in God's divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. God's promises are for us today, right now, and we respond to them by praying for them to come alive in the situations in our lives every day. Faithful prayer in which we see God's promises coming alive and coming true are what produce confidence and comfort. If we can just believe as Abraham believed God, we will not only feel 100% better, but the kingdom will come. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our faith makes it happen because faith is our way of aligning with God's will. So close your eyes for just a moment. And I'm going to recite some of God's promises and really let them wash over you. Sink in and come to life in your imagination so that we can anchor to them and believe as Abraham believed God. God's promises are true and real, and these things are yours right now. Forgiveness, a release from all the ways you fall short. God's Spirit inside you, so that you're never alone and you can heal. You can love extravagantly. You can make miracles happen. Immortality. Everything you could ever want or need, God provides. Answered prayers aligned with God's will. An awesome kingdom nestled in a brand new heaven and earth, and a room prepared just for you by Jesus himself. These things are yours now. That day has come. It's okay to believe. Amen. Before we stand for our song, let's join our Zionsville ministerium, sisters and brothers, in praying our Lenten wilderness prayer, remembering God's promises. And it's in your bulletin in bold. Pray with me. O God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please rise, and we will sing "Here I Am, Lord," in your hymn book, number 395. And the way we'll sing it is there are verses at the bottom. What's written in the music notes there is the refrain. So we will sing verse, refrain, verse, refrain, verse, refrain.
I'm
Let's share our joys and concerns.
Two joys and a concern. Jessalyn was accepted this week to the first college of her choice. We are so excited. So now it turns to, where is the girl going to live for the next 4 years? So that's a joy. It's also a joy. Ben has finished his automotive classes as of Tuesday. And so that's a joy. So the concern is that Ben needs a full-time job. So he is actively pursuing that because he's realized he cannot be idle. It's driving him crazy. I hope that you'll join with us in our joys and also join with us in praying for Ben.
I spoke with Marilyn Rice yesterday on the telephone, and she is home and doing very well. And the only complaint she has at this point is the food.
There's May and Dave.
I just want to say it's great to be back here.
Wonderful to have
and
you.
I thank everybody for all the nice greetings.
Great to have you back.
Great to have you.
A good friend a day ago. Glenn Sell, he finally succumbed to pancreatic cancer, and he suffered with it for like the past year, which is actually pretty long for that type of cancer. But when I talked to him last week, he was more concerned that his prayers for me were being answered, and he was on his deathbed. Mm. So I'm sure he's in paradise right now.
Oh, yes.
Pray for his wife, Gail. Yeah.
Any other joys and concerns to share? I have two. One, if you could pray for Lakia's safe flight. She and her friends are flying out to LA for spring break this week. And also, if you were reading Mosaic News, to pray for me and the steering committee as we embark on a 2-year strategic planning path for Mosaic Mennonite Conference. Just pray us through that process. Any others to share? Let's pray. Abba, we are so thankful for your precious promises, and we believe them. Jesus, we are amazed by your life when you ate and drank and hung on a tree next to us. There is no greater love. Holy Spirit, we believe that you are in us and that through you, our belief in God's promises will bear fruit. Triune God, as we align our wills with yours, hear the prayers of your people in this moment of silence. We pray also, as you call us to, for our enemies, that they be blessed. For the hungry, the poor, and the oppressed to be fed and uplifted. For peace where there is war and violence. For our children, youth, and young adults in our region, that they thrive. For the sick, that they be healed. For our earth and all its creatures, that they be healthy. For the leaders of our institutions, that they be kind, wise, and guided by your love. For workers of all kinds, that they find rest and fulfillment. For this church, our ministries, and our families, friends, and even our pets, that we live in a continued state of blessing. Abba, we love you so much, and we are so thankful you gave us Jesus as our model, and that your Holy Spirit is in us. So we pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yours is the kingdom, power, and glory, now and forever. Amen. Please stand for our blessing. This week, let's fast from disbelief forever. Let's really live into and respond to God's promises. Believe in forgiveness. Believe that God's Spirit is inside you to heal and love extravagantly and make miracles happen. Believe that you are immortal. Believe God will provide everything you could ever need or want. Believe that your prayers aligned with God's will be answered. Believe that our awesome kingdom is coming. Believe. Believe. Let's sing, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," in your hymn book, number 327.
Thank you. Thank you.